Hammer and Creel.
It's Hammer, H-A-M-M?
Yep, okay. E-R. And Creel, so...
Grill, G-R-I-L-L?
C-R-E-E-L. Creel, like...
It's C-R, Creel.
Yeah.
Got you.
The owner of the company pronounces it Creel. Creel? It's like, what? The first time I heard it, it's like, are you talking about shrimp? What are you...
So the owner, is he like the CEO?
Oh, yeah, he's the CEO of it.
How many employees does he have under it?
Since it's construction management, it's just us two. Mm-hmm. But we have about 40 or 50 people that work underneath us. So we have, we're the ones that organize everything for the electricians, for the carpenters that come in.
Yes, sir. This stuff's good.
So we more or less just manage all the chaos. Mm-hmm. Recently, we just finished the Milner's Gate project for Historic Elks with HC Company, another construction management company.
Right on.
And we're continuing on to help manage the rest of the building as well.
Yes, sir.
That had about, at max, 200-300 people on it working at one time. It took a year and a half.
300 people working at a time?
Yeah.
I thought you guys only employed 50.
We only did, but the other company brought in so many more. It was... Wow. It was interesting. It's a 100-year-old building that we had to completely gut. We pulled 250,000 pounds of material out of it.
Jeez.
So when we did that, we expected a 4-month project. It turned out to be a little over a year and a half.
Dang, that's tough. That's crazy. So your background, you come from a... You know, you said you had 2 years of experience of construction. Was it in Georgia or in Idaho?
That was here in Idaho. So, mm-hmm. I went to school in a Christian academy in Georgia called Hopewell Academy. And then I moved here, I moved to Idaho back in 2016 to finish out my senior year. Mm-hmm. I then graduated from Boise High. From Boise High, I then went to Boise State right after and took... Multiple different majors. I went from coding and mechanics to environmental biology. And from that, I just couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. So I, rather than keep wasting money and time, I went out and started working in the world. And my dad was he built construction homes in Park City and in Georgia and just all around the country for most of my life. Mm-hmm. So I figured construction was a good place for me to start. When I started in construction, I started out in electrician, or as an electrician, and sure. That company didn't really work out for me. Their motto wasn't really employees first, it was more or less just get the job done at any stakes, and I didn't like that, so I ended up leaving that company. And due to that, I joined the other company, HC Company, which is the first ones that started on the Historic Elks. I joined them as a carpenter. And from there, we worked together. I built most of the bar in there. I didn't build the finishing top on it, but I built most of the structural stuff for the building. I put in all the windows. I did a lot of work for them. And that took about a year of my life. And then only recently, back in December 25th, was I approached by the owner of Hammer & Creel to become a construction management. So he'd been watching me from the sideline and... Wow. Was impressed by my knowledge and my just how I carried myself.
And so, and you said you did mention that you put in, you had to force yourself to actually understand how that stuff worked, right?
Yeah. So I didn't fully understand on how everything in construction worked. I forced myself to go out and ask other tradesmen how everything worked, and I didn't understand how the business aspect of everything worked. So I went and I applied to CSI, and here I am taking all these business courses once again. To figure out how to actually improve the company and help manage it and mm-hmm. just make expenses a little bit better. And when I started doing all that, my boss got a little bit more impressed, so I went from assistant manager to project manager, which is one of the higher points in the company. It's almost as if you are the CEO. You're basically a chairman, so you make decisions for the company.
Oh, wow.
And I was really surprised about that.
At 19 years old.
Yeah, 20 years old. It's frightening, honestly. It's startling to know that you could do something to bankrupt a company, but you have to keep pushing on and on and on to make those smart decisions and own up to the decisions that you're wrong on.
That's a big, it's an accomplishment for sure.
Oh yeah, fully.
But it's also like a huge level of success, and just, there's a lot of risks, right, that you gotta like watch out for, huh?
Oh, every bit of the way. There's people that like to overcharge you for fees, and you have to look through those fees and find what they're overcharging you for. We had a guy that tried bidding us $286,000 for 12 windows. And that's just an obvious no, but he's the only one that's bidding. So we had to go out of state and try finding other window companies that would price range us for shipping it over here.
Wait, $286,000. Are you talking that's how much you guys are supposed to pay them, or they're going
to
pay you?
How much they want us to pay them for the production of those windows. Wow. It's like, at that point, you'd expect them to be like gold leaf and...
Yes, sir.
But no. So we ended up going with a different company. It was actually Pella Windows. And they're a pretty good company. I would do more work with them. I really would. It was good quality work. These windows were massive. And once we got those six windows in, we then realized we were going to need about 20 or 30 more. So we spent a lot of money. On the restaurant, you can see most of the work that was done. There was a YouTube video released on it yesterday. If I can find it, I'll show it to you after. But, yeah, there was most of the work was done, and it was over a year and a half, but I feel like they kind of skipped out on 5 months of it. They missed the 5 months of everything being really torn down and gutted and everything being built back up from the ground up. So currently the project's still going. We finished the restaurant part, but the rest of the building we estimate about the end of this year will be finished, so it'll turn into 2.5 years.
Right on. Okay, so now let me get into this part. So we'll talk more, we'll discuss more outside of this. What got you, why did you decide to enter into a small business?
So I got really tired of how aristocratic everything was in large companies, how the CEO made all the decisions and didn't really care about the small employees that were just starting out. He just wanted work done and he wanted it good. I got really tired of them seeing us as numbers, and I really jumped over to seeing I'd rather be the boss that sees people as people.
Yes, sir.
So when I got into a small company, it kind of just lit a fire inside of me that nothing else is really done. It made me really appreciate people for being people, and for once I battled with depression for a lot of my life, and I felt like I could actually help people more than I needed help myself.
See, that I come from the same background. See, battling depression, and it's like when you put your focus on other people, like I was mentioning earlier, put your focus on other people and your worries, you're not even thinking about them. Because, like you say, you want to help people. You see people as equal. Not some CEOs just there making tons of money, but only sees his employees as numbers, right?
Yeah.
Because I come from a place, my background, I worked for people, and I didn't like that. But, I had passion for coaching and all this other stuff, and, learning leadership styles from you guys and all this. It's going to be definitely something that will help me become a better coach. Like, I believe in myself as a great coach. But I know there's only so much to being a great coach. You can always be better and better and better. And so, like, learning from you guys. But it's true that, for me, my focus was meant for other people than myself. Because when you focus on yourself for so long, you're putting yourself in a trap. You know, all you think about is you. Like, you think problems are only happening to you. And then you see the outside world, you're like, whoa. Like, my problems are nowhere near these people's problems. You know what I mean? And so that's where I had to fix my mindset and be like, yo, Mo, like, people struggle harder than you. Stop blaming the world. Like, go out there, help someone. Because that learning that stuff helped me become a better person. And it all started as an eighth grader. Like, this, I met a kid that wanted me to train him. You know, I was like, yo, my life sucks right now. Like, I'm going through a crap ton, bro. I don't know why you're trying to get in this, all right? And then, like, the first time I was immature. When you're young, you're not really trying to, it's all about you, right? But, it opened my eyes and my heart out to the world. And it was like, yo, like, when the kid actually, you know, trusted me, like, you know, I got to know him more, and he wanted to, he spoke about his life more often, like, without even me having to ask. And I was like, okay, I trust this guy. And it's like, yo, holy smokes, bro, like, I understand how you're feeling, because I went through some stuff. And it's like, one of the things I have is encouraging people, staying positive to people, for people. And it's like, because I know many people need that. Like, a lot of people are down, like, you don't even know what people are going through. But go out there and talk to someone, and you'll see the difference. And so, you know, you having a lot of care of other people instead of yourself, like, that's something you gotta take pride in, because that's really great stuff, man. It's you're gonna, as you get older and stuff, you're gonna realize that your life, you did a great thing, you did a great job in life. So, a lot of respect to you for that. So, on a typical day as a business, you know, manager, what do you do?
As of recently, I wake up in the morning. I go to work about 2 or 3 in the morning, so I can, yeah. 2 to 3 in the morning.
What time do you sleep, boy?
About 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. but I wake up pretty early, go to work, and then once I'm done at work, I start getting ready for school and start taking classes.
Yes, sir.
While at work, I really do go through and manage what most of the books are currently. I go through and look at plans, revise them, figure out what parts and projects we need to focus on first.
Yes, sir.
So, let's say if the electricians are behind, I'll try to push the electricians more and more. I don't want to, of course, make them angry and leave, but at the same time, you have to have enough incentive, like, hey, we need to get this done. If you can get this part done, you can focus on the rest, but we need this done first.
Yes, sir.
So, I guess it's really, you got to section people out to certain things. You got to really keep the flow going on a construction site.
Yes, sir.
And then after that, I go to class, and once I'm out of class, I go home and try not to pass out on the couch.
Homework.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any homework yet, so it's mainly just reading, which is, everyone can read, hopefully. I hope people can read at this point in college.
Reading is easy.
Yeah. It's the mental information. Yep.
So retaining that information, you read and understanding it. Because you can read a book and get, and you know, okay, I read it. I read the chapter. I remember when I was a younger kid, like, a teacher would give us books to read. And she'd always, you know, we'd pick our own books, and she'd quiz us. People would try to cheat it out. Like, she knew the books, so she read them as well. She's like, all right, what happens in this chapter? And you're like, that was a quiz. But that was something, like, I always, that's a throwback for me. I was like, man, you know, when I was younger, whenever college professors tell us, hey, don't just read it, understand the concept. I go back to when I was, like, you know, third grader or something, my teacher, the way she would teach us was, hey, here's a book, read it, and, you know, on your own time, and then I'm going to quiz you on chapters alone. She expects you guys to summarize the chapters. What did you learn in that chapter? What's it about? After this happens, what happens? And it's like, wow. But you got to retain that information and understand it. And sometimes you even have to read over and over and over again, because you don't just, in order to understand the concept, you got to go deep down in depth. Like, just understanding things is not easy. It's really not.
No. It all also depends on how you retain things. Some people, they find it easier to write it down. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. As I'm reading, I write down key things that I catch. It's a really good way of taking notes. It also kind of improves your penmanship, because nobody can really write too well anymore.
For sure.
But I'm guilty of that. My penmanship is horrible.
Mine is good on a good day, but
the other times are just chicken scratch, and you're like, I can't read that afterwards, but
you don't
be
always
fine.
Have time to, you know, be a good writer. You just don't. Like, you just gotta, I don't even know how to explain it. So, what do you see are the advantages of owning a small business or managing it?
So everyone talks about how the American dream can be started. Most people will think about, okay, I want to start this company, I want to be a $1 million company right out.
Everybody does, yeah.
Problem with that is you got to think small in the beginning. You got to start, okay, I have 2 employees, I'm going to grow it to 3, I'm going to grow it to 4. You got to focus on retaining that mentality of, we're small no matter what. We care about our community. We also care about the product.
Yes, sir.
But as you grow bigger, you really do lose sight of that containing,
yep,
both your privileges of having good customers and a good quality product.
And so, let's pause right there. You said, as you get, you know, you're getting bigger, you lose you gain more customers, but you lose like good quality product. Why do you say that?
Because the more customers you have, the more you're going to have to rush out more options, and you're going to have to stop going for one product because it may be more expensive than another. So you're going to start cutting corners, and those corners will eventually catch up with you, and you will have a lesser product than what you started with.
Yes, sir.
Let's see if I can figure out the best way. That's a good company that did that recently. We'll go with like Samsung TVs. This isn't a hit on Samsung or anything, but in the beginning, they started out with one quality product, and they kind of jumped that around. Or actually, no, let's go to Apple. Apple, they started out with the iPhone.
Sure.
And that was a very popular thing. And now we're at the iPhone 6. They went smaller, 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 and then all of a sudden they went, okay, it's just cheaper if we just make it flatter. We can keep all the processing power. This thing hasn't changed in years. All they've done is remove the ports on it and change the speakers.
And size.
They've just made it bigger and they've made it more flexible. And everyone has problems with it now because either the screens crack really easy or they bend in your pocket.
Yeah.
So they're getting a lesser product because they're manufacturing out of China, which is using cheaper quality.
Oh, wow.
Originally, the cases were steel in the beginning. Now they're aluminum.
What's better, steel?
Steel is a much harder compound. Aluminum is the cans. You can just crunch a can in your hand. If you had that can of steel, you'd really have to put some force into it.
Right on, right on. What would you say are disadvantages? I know the products part where, you know...
You don't have a whole lot. Your overhead's very small, but you're not really having a big name. You're not a household item yet. So the disadvantages are that you can't really put your name out there. You have to really make that name. It's a really hard grind. So it's a really hard grind, and it's really not easy to sit there and go, okay, I do this quality work. You actually have to sit there and take pictures of your work. You have to show it off. Versus if you were a household name, it's like, here's what my name is. And they go, oh, we know you. Oh, we want to work with you.